And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a loaded show for you here on the program today. Heather Harrington from WNML in Knoxville dropping by at 8 o'clock. Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach at 8:30. Matthias Ekholm, Nashville Predators defenseman, dropping by at 9:30 as well. We'll get into what was a wild Nashville Predators game last night with him. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We have a very well-dressed and really studly-looking Joe Rexroad in studio today. Joe, you're looking great.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. So I'm sorry, but I'm flustered already because my stupid computer constantly does this thing where you have to reset it. You guys ever have this?
Yeah.
I mean, it happens to me like every three. So can you guys tell me the password key? I guess you shouldn't say it on the air.
I won't say it on the air, but I will give it to you.
Someone text me the freaking Wi-Fi password because my stupid computer, because, you know, it's great when your computer has all the passwords at all the places you go.
But then when they forget them.
And then you just go in and you automatically connect. And now, I now have to go to every single place and redo the password. You just texted me?
I did.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I'm fine saying it on the air, but it's probably a bad idea. People going to come here and, really, that's it? Oh, okay.
Joe, this has been the same dialogue we've had before. Every time we tell you the password, you're like, oh, wait, that's it?
Well, have I said that before?
Yeah. I hope one day they're going to change it, and I'm not going to know it, and then we're just going to be up a creek.
Yeah. Hey, that is it. So anyway, I'm not protesting the Zoom. I guess you could blame these nice clothes I'm wearing, but really that's not it either. I just was dragging. And then once you go a little bit later, the traffic
unbelievable.
Doubles like by the it's almost like an exponential traffic increase, you know?
If I leave my house like 5 minutes after I normally do, it's crazy.
It's like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, Joe, we thought you were sleeping, and I was like, Robbie, so do we call him?
Show starts, give him a call. If not, he'd be
I'm
fine.
Like, I'm going to call him and be like, hi, Joe, and you're going to be like asleep. I'm like, oh, great.
That did happen one time.
It did.
Although, I don't even think, did anyone actually get me on the phone?
It just happened to wake up.
I saw all these texts from you and Porth, like gifts of people hitting the alarm clock and stuff, you know?
To be honest with you, it's kind of a miracle it doesn't happen more often. I'm not a morning person, and I do a morning show, so the fact that this doesn't happen more often is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, there's still
a long way to go.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll happen. Can you let me in the meeting room, by the way? I know you're producing our show and everything. I don't want to deny, you know.
People, especially today.
Sean, you know, I'm wearing nice shoes, Sean, on those beautiful feet of mine.
That's right. What a game last night. Predators and Panthers. The Predators get it done 6-4 last night. A wild game last night down in Sunrise, Florida. David Rittich gets the start. So John Hines was not joking with us last week. David Rittich gets in there. You know, he gives up 4 goals. He faced about 100 shots in that game. So not necessarily as bad as the 4 goals would say. But, man, what an entertaining game. Back and forth. The Predators tied up, 3 separate times in that game. And they find a way to win 6-4. That's a gigantic win for the Predators last night. What a game that was. Maybe, you know, they've had some very exciting games. We'll get to what the win means here in just a few minutes. But, you know, obviously the Colorado game a few weeks ago at home was very exciting. This one was right up there with any of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd call this the biggest win of the year just because of what was before it and what's right after it. You know, look, I don't know if that it affects – how they play this week. But I think it changes the vibe a little bit. So it's not like this desperate situation. Yes, that's right. I use your favorite word. But certainly to end that 4-game losing streak in the toughest building to play in against the best offensive team in the league and a team that can absolutely win the thing with your backup goalie, down 3-1, it's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal.
It was a massive deal last night. Philip Forsberg, big night, 3 points, has a goal and 2 assists. I thought Yakov Trenin played great last night. I thought he was awesome. He gets the big goal to tie it up at 3. Roman Josi with a goal and an assist. Tanner Jeannot, two goals as well. That was some big-time stuff by Tanner Jeannot last night. The shorthanded goal, the really, you know, you just had a goal disallowed from Cunning at that point, and you thought to yourself, well, I don't know, maybe it's just not going to be your night. And puck takes a bad hop, goes on the stick of Tanner Jeannot. I thought he was going to fall down. He came real close to falling down on the breakaway, but he holds it together. Great forehand to backhand move. That was a big-time play by Jeannot last night.
Yeah, and I agree. As soon as the goal was disallowed, you're like, well, good fight. It's going to end up a little bit short. And now you have to deal with that power play. I didn't realize until Ian Safar tweeted right at that moment that it was their first shorthanded goal of the year.
Yeah.
But what a timely goal. And, you know, Granlund gets in there on their power play. So, it's a lot to unpack on that game.
Colton Sissons, 16 for 16 in the faceoff circle. Did not lose a single faceoff last night. I don't know. Look, I've seen people not lose faceoffs in a game. I don't know that I've seen them win 16 in a row. Like, you know, I've seen people go 5-0, 6-0, whatever in the faceoff circle. 16 for 16 is absurd from Colton Sissons last night.
Yeah.
You think you'd lose one by accident.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Never in Preds history. So I'm now quoting Nick Barnowski on Twitter, you know, who does PR for the Preds. He says, based on his research, Sisson's the fourth NHL player since 97 to take at least 16 and get them all. Patrice Bergeron, the last one 5 years ago.
That makes sense.
I mean, there can't be – there can't be many ever. That many? Never lose one.
That's insane. It's just incredible. What a performance last night from the Predators. Again, Matthias Ekholm going to be joining us later in the show. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. James texting in says, the Preds showed us something last night. They look like a team that simply refused to lose. They potted 7 goals against possibly the best team in the league. If you take away the homer goaltender interference call, Riddick looked the best and looked their best and kept us in the game. The fourth goal wasn't his fault. The intent to blow apparently still a thing. Let's hope this is a catalyst for the rest of the season. What do you think of the of Cunning's goal being disallowed? I thought it was kind of on the edge, but at the end of the day, I didn't really have that bigger problem.
I mean, he moved him. You could see that there was some movement with the stick. So yeah, I mean, you could make the case like whatever the call was, you know, but obviously with goaltender interference, typically it's a goal, and then you see if there's goaltender interference.
Right.
I mean, it was close, but yeah, I don't think it was like some outrageous call.
No, like he started the play, and Bobrovsky's at the top of the crease, kind of out of the crease. So if it's just that and he's making contact out of the crease, I'm keeping the goal on the board because your goalie does not have right to the ice outside of the crease. But when you start to push and move him, that's when it gets a little hairy down there.
And that said, there's probably 40 goaltender interference calls both ways that I will never understand in my life. So, I mean, it's a tough break for the Preds. That was not like some crazy, you know, Panthers home cooking deal.
No, I don't think so either. Philip Tomasino back on the line last night with Ryan Johansson. I thought they looked okay at times. You know, that was, you know, a play with Cunning that we're talking about, that they're out there together. So, you know, we'll see if that sticks as they move forward here this week. And then I haven't even mentioned Granlund yet. 22 minutes last night, scores a goal, and, you know, to put him up 5-4. Guy continues to just turn right along out there. And now he's the last guy I mentioned in the score sheet.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there's Granlund, too.
And
he's
then
out
there's Granlund, just, you know, night after night. But I thought that was a Johansson goal at first, by the way. I was very excited.
I also got a pick to click point.
You did. So did the listeners.
Who was your – you were
– Josi.
Yeah, yeah.
And the listener.
You and the listener?
Told you guys, I'm slowly but surely. Yeah.
My going back and forth yesterday on Duchesne and Jeannot did not make the right decision.
Gosh,
although Duchesne had two assists, but did not make the right decision.
Yeah, no one had Jeannot. Right?
I think that's going to start to change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the listener continues to – I think we have to stop letting them go first.
We might have to. Will in Kentucky texting in says, what a game. The Preds went toe-to-toe with the best in the league. Glad to see them hang with the best and not give up when the chips were stacked. Great way to start this week. I said this yesterday on the show. You know, last night's game, in a way, to me, kind of felt like a bit of a gut check moment. Like, how deep are you willing to dig to keep yourself in that game? And I thought the Predators responded pretty unbelievably that way last night. That is, you know, you hear coaches throw out the term character win all the time. that was a character win last night for the Predators. And it was, it did, you know, going back to James's text, it kind of felt like a team that said, you know what, screw this, we're not losing this game. And that was good to see from the Predators last night.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you still, I mean, the fight was there, but I think the fight has been there. But, you know, obviously that the execution, like, you know, Janot making the move he made in that play. I mean, and shoot, Trennan's finish on his goal too. Yeah. You know, I mean, those are the most, you gotta have that finish too. And you know, so they put it together. And yeah, it's obviously significant. It, regardless of what they did last night, Thursday was going to be big. You know. Separate from Pekka-Rinne, because it's the team that's chasing you. But now, you know, you're back to a 6-point lead. They do have 2 games in hand. It's huge, but it would almost be desperate. I mean, with a 5-game, especially just ending the losing streak, if they were on a 5-gamer right now going into Thursday.
Justin from Lebanon texting in says Rex Road has more drama than a 15-year-old girl. It's coming from Justin from Lebanon.
What are you trying to say, Justin? Hey, look, man, I got to get my feet looking pretty before I put the socks on them in the morning, okay? That's right.
Needs to use that pumice stone.
Yeah, the pumice stone, yeah.
I got a texter that says, I got the same problem. If I leave just a few minutes late in the morning, I also have to deal with way more traffic with people that probably shouldn't be driving in the first place. Feel my pain. It's coming from a texter. There's some of that, especially when the roads are wet this morning. There's some doozies out there. Be careful out there driving the car.
Yeah, be very careful. I thought the roads would be a little bit more submerged than they were out my way. So, but that doesn't mean that's the case in the entire area. And we got more rain coming today, don't we?
I think we might. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Was that the biggest win of the year for the Preds? And what could it mean moving forward for the rest of this week? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking a big win last night for the Predators. 6-4, they get it done against the Florida Panthers. So it's one of those things where I saw the reaction to some Preds fans before the game when David Rittich was announced as a starting goaltender, and they're like, oh, boy, this could be bad. And then early on, you know, Florida gets the first power play goal, and you're thinking to yourself, I think the shots were 9-2 at that point, and you're thinking, oh, boy, this could be a long night for the Nashville Predators. And Forsberg responds, scores the goal, and they end up winning the game. And now all of a sudden, you're looking at the scenario where, you know, Saros plays on Friday. He's not playing again until Thursday. He's gotten some time off. The mental break, which John Hines talked about with us last week, getting some practice time as a technical goaltender. You know, and I don't mean like he's technically a goaltender. I mean, that's the way he plays the game is very technical.
I got you.
Yeah, I'm just making sure that people understand. Yep. This could end up being a really good thing for him as well. So it's kind of the bonus of not only do you get the win last night, you got your starting goaltender some rest in the process of doing it. Kind of the win-win scenario for John Hines and the Predators last night.
Yeah, I think, and, you know, C-Mace liked the idea yesterday too. And, of course, as a former goaltender, he knows about the mental accumulation that you have to separate, even though you may have enough rest physically. The lot on his plate, lots that's going to be on his plate, huge week. And so now you get it done with your backup goaltender. Now, of course, if Saros doesn't play well Thursday, then he was rusty, and how do you let him get out of rhythm? But, you know, This made sense, and I do think that there's something. I said it yesterday. Like there's something to. It's just like almost. It's almost like you lose a player, you know, and you gain a psychological edge from that because your opponent, one, you know, it's a little different for them, but also, you know, everybody just assumes, oh, this is a huge deal. Now they have the advantage, and then you dig deep and play really well. We've seen it so many times in sports. And with teams locally here, sometimes the backup goaltender, there's maybe a little less pressure. It's just like, hey, just go let it rip, you know. And I thought Rittich was fine. I'd say there was one for sure that he'd like back in there.
The Gudas one sneaking through, I was like, oh boy, You're gonna have to gotta find that one.
That might be the one.
Yeah,
one or one and a half maybe.
But for he hadn't played in like a month and a half.
So he's playing Florida.
Yeah. So look, I mean, I thought it was important just to get him back in there because they're gonna need him coming down the stretch here with the schedule being what it is next month. Like Saros, he's gonna get the next two. I don't think there's any question about that. With Dallas and Tampa coming up this week. But then the calendar flips, and you're going to start to have to use Riddick a little bit more because you got more back-to-backs coming up. So I thought it was important just to get him in there. You know, obviously you don't want him to give up four goals every time he's in there, but I thought it was important just to get him in there and let him see the puck. I feel like maybe people either are just kind of glossing over it because we come to expect it from him at this point, or maybe just not paying enough attention to it. Roman Josi with a goal and an assist last night. He's got 53 points in 49 games as a defenseman. He might end up with 90 points this year as a defenseman. Like, it's pretty absurd what he's doing right now.
It's outrageous. I mean, if he's a point a game, is he not winning the Norris?
It's got to be. He's got to be in there. You know, it's – look, Cale Makar and
is
look,
a freak.
Unfortunately, I believe this matters too. Like some of the, and I think the same thing with the Calder. Like, I think Trevor Zegras is going to win the Calder. And I think part of the reason he's going to win it, number one, I don't want to take anything away from him. He's a really good player. But I also think when you're, you know, doing highlight reel stuff left and right, that matters. You know, Cale Makar does highlight reel stuff left and right. Now, he's also got 51 points in 46 games, so he might end up right there with Josi.
Yeah,
as well.
So it's not like it's just the highlight reel stuff.
And
man.
Look, I don't take it. Josi can have some highlight reel stuff too. So it's not just an exclusive that thing. I don't know. Like it kind of feels like it's going to be Cale Makar's award this year. But I don't know. If he keeps playing this way, you can make stats look any way you want to make them sometimes. But the driving play through the neutral zone and creating offense stat. It's really not close. Like, Roman Josi is better at that than any other defenseman in the league by a wide margin. That's just what the numbers say. It's not me in Nashville toting that out there. That's what the numbers say. So I guess voters can do with that what they will.
Yeah, and look, some of it'll be – I mean, we know where the Avs are going to finish. You know, they're going to be number one in the West. So that automatically helps. Any individual award winner, award hopeful, is automatically going to be helped if you're playing for one of the top – 2, 3, 4 teams in the league. I'd say if the Preds finish well and Josi stays a ridiculous pace, maybe he can, you know, flip on his skates at some point and score a goal or, you know, do a little lacrosse goal or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, get himself right in there. It should be considered very close. It should be.
Oh, yeah. Liam on the text line says, shorthanded goals have to be one of the best things in sports, and Janot has turned out to be such a find. Such a great goal and a statement win for this team. Do let me some shorthanded goals. They come out of nowhere. You think you're about to give up one? Especially the way the penalty kill has been going as of late for the Predators, and you just find one. Big play and big moment. And we talked about it yesterday. Like, Tanner Janot, he's got 17 on the year right now. He's going to end up scoring, what, 25,
probably,
26, yeah. 28 goals
mid
this year?
Mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, like it's pretty incredible what he's doing right now. Offensively, I don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but he's going to put himself right in that conversation.
Yeah, mid-20s in goals, pulverizes people at one of the highest rates in the league.
Yeah.
Is there a stat for that, by the way?
Well, like, he set
– hard hit stat?
Well, I don't know. There should
you know,
be.
There should be. If we're going to do like analytics –
the Richter scale?
Yeah, if we're going to do analytics with a blob on every little bit of possession in hockey, why can't we have, like – you know, intensity of hit.
Yeah, give me
analytics.
Some sports science, like force of impact, hit stuff.
There you go.
We could do that.
I mean, I why not?
He set the Preds rookie record last night of hits in a season already, and they're 50 games. So got 30 games left. He's already set it. So,
but look, I mean, that line again. You have a game like this, a win like this, and oh yes, Forsberg, Granlund, Josi, but. Also, those two guys, and I know it's on the penalty kill, but that line, those individuals, they seem to come up with big stuff in big moments.
Just think about that line last night. You've got Janot with two goals. You know, one of them's an empty net, but two goals last night. Trennan with, you know, basically a backhand roof shot over Bobrovsky. And I thought even before that, like, Trenton almost scored, you know, 7 seconds into the game last night. I thought he was really good. And then there's Colton Sissons winning every single faceoff he took last
night. That's decent.
That was pretty good. I mean, they're never going to get the same amount of attention as the Forsbergs and the Granlunds and the Duchesnes. And I'm not saying that they should. But you're not winning that game, not even close, last night without that line.
No. And you know, you're right. They won't get the same. But I'd say they get a good amount of deserved attention for what they are. But that's the thing. They're not really – I mean, last year we called them the fourth line, you know? Yeah, the fourth line, you know, the checking line. But
right.
That's not what they are.
They're beyond that.
Yeah. They're the second line, really.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. It's unbelievable what they're doing on a nightly basis. So, is that the biggest win of the year for the Predators to this point? Now, it's always interesting to get in discussions like this because as you get deeper into the year, all of a sudden every win becomes bigger.
Yeah.
So, I understand that part of it. But just from a quality of competition – the situation around them, I think it's clearly their best win of the year.
I do too. I mean, Colorado would have been that. Both teams were shorthanded. And yeah, just, I mean, you go a month from now against a top team that you really need to win, and that automatically has a chance to be bigger because it means more in the moment. It means more in the final standings. But 4-game losing streak, all the stuff that's happening this week, again, best offensive team in the league, best or worst, you know, place to visit in the league. I mean, what is Florida now? Florida now at home is
23-4.
Oh, they dropped to 23-4.
Yeah.
They were a solid 23-3 before last night. Yeah, all those factors, no question about it to me.
And now the question is, how does it propel them forward here? Like, is that a win? Is that the type of win that can really carry you here moving forward for a little while? And like we talk about this all the time, and I've seen this happen both ways. I've seen wins like this where it's just like, all right, well, it feels like something has clicked there and that carries you for a little while. I've also seen teams win games like this and then come out and just get shellacked the next game too. So I don't know exactly how this is going to work out. It's kind of an interesting dynamic of a big emotional win like this, and then you got a big emotional night coming up on Thursday, and then a big emotional night coming up on Saturday. It's a lot of buzz or jam, as Peter LaViolette would say, flying around here today.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, and that's why it's going to be – it's hard to predict what this will do, if anything, because all of these things are kind of standalone big moments. Plus, like, so Thursday, if I'm understanding correctly, 6 o'clock is the program.
Yeah, I think they're doing, like, a big thing.
So 6 o'clock is the Pecorine program, and the game starts at 7:30.
That is correct.
That's going to be a heck of a program.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure it'll be awesome. But also, like, for the team then, what is that? Like, how does that work with, like, your pregame routine and all that stuff? And granted,
I would imagine
both teams are affected. But.
And I have no inside information on this, so I could be so totally off base it's not even funny. And I probably shouldn't say it on the radio, but I'm going to anyway.
Go ahead.
I would imagine when the program starts, there's going to be like a build-up, and then at some point they're going to be like, all right, get the players out of here. Just my guess. Like, I don't think they're going to be standing around for 45 minutes.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just my
sense.
Guess. I could be wrong. I have no clue. But that's my guess.
So I guess then it's probably your normal pregame stuff will start at 7 then? Is that what you'd expect?
Yeah.
So 6 to 7 is the program. Then you do all your regular pregame. Yeah, that'll be. That's a good way to do it, to keep it as normal as possible.
I think so too.
Yeah. But
we'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. ESPN 1025 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Wise Power 400 at the Auto Club Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday at 8 a.m. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Chip down low away from Reinhardt. Reinhardt got the first goal of the game tonight on the power play in period number one.
Here we go.
Here comes a loose puck. Picked up. A break coming on now. Ekholm, backhander, and he scores. Excuse me. That was Tanner Jeannot, not Matthias Ekholm. But in any case, it is the first shorty of the year for the Predators, and this game is tied at 4.
Big-time play by Tanner Jeannot last night. He ties it up shorthanded. Mikhail Granlund scores the game winner last night for the Predators. Janot adds another one just for the fun of it for an empty net insurance goal, and the Predators win 6-4 last night against the Florida Panthers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. I'm going to the Stadium Series game. I went to the Winter Classic, and if you have any listeners who are on the fence about whether or not to go to the game, I would strongly recommend it because the outdoor games are a tremendous, unique experience. My question is about the game. In your opinion, what sort of attendance do you think they'll have, and what sort of attendance figures do you think would make it a very successful event?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. I mean, I'm interested to see how that plays out. I mean, I would assume there'll be some a lot of people coming up from Tampa as well. I mean, I'm hoping for around 60,000. I mean, I think that'd be great. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Honestly, I don't really know how ticket sales are going right now. I assume they're going well, but I would say 60,000. It's interesting to me always, like, you know, the way the rink is laid out. I think especially at Nissan, I mean, you'll be able to see the ice really from anywhere. So, you know, the end zone seats down in the lower bowl, I don't know that they'll be using those all that much because it kind of feels like the angle would be bad there. But I don't know, what, 60,000, 55,000? What do you think is a good number?
Yeah, well, that sounds like a good number. This is just me looking at StubHub to get an idea. I mean, the tickets are basically right now, they're right around, you can get tickets for about 80, 90 bucks range.
Yep.
I don't know if that necessarily says anything about, I mean, there's just a few, and then you get into the triple digits. I don't know. Sometimes you can go to StubHub, and obviously it's something super low or super high that gives you an idea of what, you know, the demand is. It seems like 60,000. I mean, how many of these are sellouts, total sellouts? I know probably in the early going, that was probably the case, but
most
I don't think
of them,
all of them.
Not all of them. I think most of them typically are. Because I think Sean Rourke brought up a good point yesterday. I think there's a lot of, all right, well, the outdoor game has kind of played itself out at this point. And, look, I understand that. I will say, as somebody who's watched these things for a long time, I don't get anywhere near as excited for watching the Winter Classic on TV as I used to.
Yeah, it's a thing to experience.
Yeah, if you're there, it's much – it's kind of – not exactly the same, but in a way, it's kind of like the All-Star game. Like, I don't really have much time for the All-Star game outside of when it was in Nashville. Like, that was really cool. The experience itself for the community is awesome. But I think, like, your casual NHL fan, I mean, the ratings for each outdoor game kind of continue to go down. And I know the one on TNT worked out pretty well this last time. And I'm interested to see how this one does for the Predators and the Lightning. But if you've never been to one, it's pretty awesome. Like, the one down in Dallas for the Winter Classic was one of the coolest things I've ever been to. It was great. It was awesome stuff. So, to Bob's point, if you're on the fence about it, I would encourage you to go. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, how many quote-unquote walk-up fans will there be? Because sometimes with something like this, when you know that they're, I mean, you know, you're going to be able to get in if you want to get in. When you have such a huge venue, there are people who wait until last minute. I mean, shoot. I mean, the weather probably dictates some people. Like, if it's like, well, if it's a nice day out there, then let's see. It's looking like overcast, and actually it will be chilly. Good for the ice. High of 46 Saturday, so that means game time will probably be high 30s.
Yeah, which actually, if you're the NHL, I don't know that could work out any better.
Right, they're good with that, yeah.
Now, the thing that I guess you got to watch is, you know, it's been a monsoon all week here. I think it's going to rain again either later tonight or tomorrow. You know, what does the ice look like? I remember in Dallas, I think they had to scrap the original ice because it rained so much. They had to just go and make new ones like 2 days before the game. So that's something. I don't know. Like, I'm sure they have some preventative measures in for that. I don't know what that looks like, but that is something to keep an eye on this
week. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, depending on when the rain ends tomorrow, they'll have most of tomorrow, all of Friday, and all of Saturday when it's supposed to be dry.
Yeah. So do you feel like after the win last night, if you're a player in that locker room, maybe you can I don't want to say sit back because that's not the right word, but can you enjoy maybe the pageantry of this week a little bit more now that you don't have the anchor of like a 5-game losing streak heading into the game tomorrow? I think you can. I think it kind of frees you up a little bit. Again, I don't know what that translates to as in terms of on-ice results, but I think last night's win was a big win outside of the 2 points and winning a game in Florida. I think from that standpoint alone of taking that weight off your shoulders heading into what's going to be a pretty massive next 3 days for this team, that's pretty big last night.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question that it has got to change, you know, just the hour by hour leading into the Pecorine event for these guys. Does it increase the chances they win? I mean, I could make a case that had they lost last night, you know, that maybe they'd have a better chance of winning tomorrow just because they absolutely could not lose that game. But it's still a huge game. So I don't know, like, I don't know if it has any positive impact on performance this week. But, yes, it's got to be a better week for those guys.
Well, and this is also where we've talked so much about, you know, you teams having games in hand on you. This is sometimes where that works in your favor. Like, Dallas plays tonight. They play tonight in Dallas against Winnipeg. And then they're coming tomorrow. So you're going to catch them on the second half of back-to-back, too. So, I mean, you've got a chance if you're the Predators with what's going to be, I think, a pretty lively building tomorrow night, maybe to jump on them quick. Now, you got to – we saw that happen against Winnipeg a few weeks ago. Not from the building standpoint, but you jumped on them quick, and then all of a sudden you had a parade to the penalty box.
And you jumped into the penalty box.
Yes, you did. You can't do that tomorrow.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, they've kind of – that's become less of a – just a complete – mess for them, so well, they've worked on some things, and you know,
they're like little choir boys out there right now. Yeah. Not going to the box.
Yeah, I mean, Janot's like, I'll just score goals instead. Then how about that?
Why not?
Yeah, but yeah, it's got to be just like today's got to be better for them, right?
Yeah.
You know? Well, I mean, just I mean that's just normal. You win or lose, it's gonna dictate a lot of things, but they knew that they would be involved in all this stuff. And look, all the discussion around this team, there'd be a lot today here and on this station all day about this 5-game losing streak and, you know, how do they respond and all that stuff. And now it's like, okay, it's more like, well, huge game tomorrow, Pecorine.
Liam texting in says, I guess Hines has saved his job for at least one more game, and did have the sarcasm filter in there as well.
Is the Fire Hines crew back?
I haven't heard from much of them.
The Hines boo-hoo?
I think
the Boo Hines crew?
The Boo Hines crew is largely vacated this year. I'm sure there's still some out there. I've just not heard from them.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to talk hoops next segment, but the Fire Stackhouse crew, every time they lose, it's like, oh, let me tweet some stuff right now.
Would you put Stillman in that crew?
I don't know. He didn't text me about that. He was texting me about other stuff last night. He didn't text me about Stackhouse, so I don't know.
He was tweeting.
He was tweeting about
it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay. Well,
you have to look that up.
I'm sure it was great. Yeah. Just can't wait for him to lose. God, I want him to lose so bad. It's pretty funny.
When we come back, we will get into the college hoops discussions. Big games last night for both Tennessee and Vanderbilt. We'll get into that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The back to the basket and pick and pop stuff, I don't think he's ready for
it. Here's a steal. This is what Tennessee does. So well, Tanner flies in for the jam.
Oh, my gosh. And he mean mugs the camera afterward. This activity, jumping the passing lane, gets it from behind, finishes above the rim. And on NBA All-Star weekend, he's going to look at the cam and says, hey, Ja Morant.
Big night last night for the Tennessee Vols. They get it done 80-61 against Missouri last night in a game where offensively, Kennedy Chandler looked pretty darn good last night for the Vols. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Joe Rex Road, 23 points last night from Kennedy Chandler. Shoots 9 of 12 from the field. Shoots 2 of 4 from 3. Adds 8 rebounds and 6 assists as well. That was a pretty good night from Kennedy Chandler last night against Missouri.
He was unbelievable. He's I think he's really coming into his own here. It's funny because it wasn't too long ago. Seems like the mock draft community kind of had is starting to push him like, hey, he's kind of a second round pick, and that may still be the case. And hey, maybe he'll ultimately decide to come back. I'd still be surprised by that, and I still think he's a first round talent. Last night, that was a first round player on the floor, doing everything well. Again, the no turnovers. It's with him. I think it's not easy to be a point guard for Rick Barnes. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think it also makes you a better point guard. And he seems to just have a better feel now for when to attack, when to hold back, create for others, but also attack the rim. And he had some really nice off the ball cuts going downhill to get layups or to get to the line last night. Then he's hitting his outside shot. I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome last night. You know, Vescovi with 14 last night as well. He rebounds from a tough shooting day against Arkansas. He goes 4 from 6 from three last night. You know, Adu gets 23 minutes last night for the Vols against Missouri. Only 6 for Fulkerson last night, but Ziegler with 6 points. Victor Bailey Jr., 11 points last night as well. So kind of some spread out scoring outside of Kennedy Chandler last night. You know, another kind of iffy shooting game from James last night. But even when he doesn't shoot well, like you can see defensively just what a menace he can be at times for this team. And, you know, outside of that Arkansas game, you're talking about the larger body of work now for the last few weeks for this Vols team is offensively they look much better.
Yeah, and, you know, Vescovi was having a really rough shooting night, and then he hit a couple big ones late just when – I mean, like Missouri got it down to like 10-12, and he just sort of got the separation back. The bigs, yeah, you know, Huntley Hatfield and Adu played a combined, I think, more than 40.
Yep.
Fulkerson only 6, although they said to the game he's got a hip pointer, so that's part of that. But those guys are coming along. They really are. Still not a lot offensively, but boy, they make a difference. And around the rim, it's different, you know, for them. So now, huge game coming up Saturday against Auburn. Chance to finally beat Bruce Pearl and that team that is an absolute national title contender.
Well, and it's a game at home as well where you've not lost yet so far this year if you're Tennessee. And you've talked about it. And, you know, I guess I've always believed it. I've paid more attention to it this year since I've heard you talk about it. The home court advantage in college basketball may be the greatest home advantage of all sports. And it's not just Tennessee. Like, you can take that really anywhere. It just makes a big difference. And, you know, Bruce Pearl's had some success going into Knoxville as of late with Auburn. This is going to be a pretty fascinating game coming up on Saturday. I think 3 o'clock, the start on Saturday.
Yeah. Walker Kessler. I mean, they get, you know, possibly the number one pick for Auburn, and I think certainly a high pick in Walker Kessler, 7-footer, who, of course, transferred from UNC. How Tennessee deals with him will be interesting. Now, I think I know exactly how Tennessee's going to deal with Jabari Smith. I think that's Josiah James for every second he's on the floor. I mean, that's what I would do if I was Rick Barnes. I think that's what he'll do. And then it's just a fascinating guard matchup because Ziegler Chandler against Green and Johnson, talking about incredible quickness and athleticism and aggression out there. And frankly,
maybe a little bit too much aggression.
Well, that's the interesting thing is Tennessee's freshmen, to me, are often more under control than those guys. But Wendell Green will also just hit a 26-footer in your face if you want. You know, I mean, and Katie Johnson can get to the rim with ease. So, I mean, that's just going to be just a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Got to get early. Got to get to Nissan Stadium early and get that going on the phone.
Yeah,
maybe they'll
box.
Even have it on the TV. What do you think?
Maybe so. I'll be doing a radio show from the booth at 3 o'clock when that starts.
All right. Yeah. In there?
In there.
Oh, I'll make sure to come in and troll you then.
I'm sure that you will. No, I'm really looking forward to that game. I mean, look, there have been some big matchups in TBA the last few years. I mean, look. They had Kentucky last week, so they're no stranger to big-time matchups. I think it would mean a little bit more if you can get Bruce Pearl. I know Tennessee fans love Bruce Pearl, and you know some Tennessee fans hate him for the way that he left and everything that happened after that. But if you could win that game against Auburn, who has looked vulnerable as of late, when they're on, I think they're still as good as anybody in the country, but they have looked a little vulnerable as of late. So maybe a big opportunity for Tennessee. If they can win that game, Could they be a two seed? You think they're a two seed after that game if they win that game coming up?
It's possible, but, you know, you look at the pecking order. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot, obviously, a lot of, I mean, you got to leapfrog some really good teams. Right now, Auburn is a one. You know, you got Purdue. You know, there's a lot, but it's possible. I don't know that it matters all that much. I mean, it's kind of just like your matchup. Now, where it could matter is if like a Duke, you know, this is where it really matters. If you're a Tennessee fan, you want to root for the best case scenario, root for Duke to lose. Because I look at Duke as a vulnerable two. And if Duke falls behind Tennessee in the pecking order, then Tennessee should get Greenville for the first weekend, which is easily the closest place.
Oh, yeah.
So you probably have a little bit more of a home court there, more Vols fans there. So that's where the two matters. But to me, if you solidify yourself as a three, you're still feeling good about your standing because obviously then you would avoid the one in your region until at least the Elite Eight, if you even have to face them, if you even get there.
Heartbreaking loss last night for Vanderbilt. They fall 74-72 against Alabama. Had a chance for a layup at the end to tie it. Doesn't go for Vanderbilt. You know, it was a good game, back-and-forth game. We talked about Alabama. Like, Alabama can beat anybody, and then sometimes they can shoot their way into trouble as well. They shot 28% last night from three. But in the end, they're able to hold on, get it done, 74-72. Your thoughts on that game? By the way, another big-time performance from Scottie Pippen Jr. last night, 26 points, 6 assists as well to go along with it, but not quite enough in the end.
Yeah, it's a very tough loss, and Bama is a really interesting team. They looked really bad. I mean, Vandy was up 9 on them. They were really better than them for a lot of the game, but then when Alabama turned it on, I mean, Quinterly just hitting bombs and or getting to the rim. He is something else when he gets going. Then Vanderbilt has a chance. I mean, Pippen has a chance to tie, misses a free throw. Jordan Wright has a tying layup on his hand at the end. You know, bothered a little bit, so he has to kind of like try to go not off the glass. But boy, that's a tough one. He had just a bad night. He had a tough night. I mean, what, 3 points, 1 for 6, 5 turnovers, and you got to have you know, Robbins gets you 16. You got to have three guys, and Wright was the third guy, and I think they win otherwise. But tough loss, and then of course. You pointed me in the direction of some excellent twittering based on this. Like there are people so badly want Stackhouse to lose so they can scream about how he's a bad coach all over again. So Gentry Estes and Stillman's just jumping all over something. You know,
are you a part of the boohoo crew for Stackhouse?
Well, I guess. I mean, I guess I'm a Stack Homer.
Yeah. Tannehill boohoo
Stackhouser.
Crew.
Stackhouse boohoo crew. Well, Gentry Estes tweets like. I don't have it in front of me. You know, it's like, you know, you can see where it's going. Basically, like, you can see where the program's going. I mean, like, you'd have to be just going way out of your way to be dishonest if you don't see progress this year. But then he said, you know, the typical game, then Jared screams at him. What did Jared say? What progress?
Scottie Pippen's about to leave. Where's it going?
Right. And then actually Gentry says nuance is lost on your radio guys. I take issue Gentry. With that, Gentry.
Ooh.
Don't lump us in with Jared on this stuff, on the lack of nuance. but, you know, it's a tough loss for Vanderbilt. I mean, you've got they had a lot of opportunity recently to even actually get kind of onto the bubble area. That's done. The only way they're in the tournament is by winning the SEC tournament. But the NIT is still there. And, again, I'll say it again. I think that would be a really good deal for this team to get an NIT bid.
You feel like Liam Robbins starting to settle in offensively? He had 8 against Tennessee, 14 against A&M, now 16 against Alabama as well. Looks like he's starting to find it.
Yeah, and, again, yeah, this is – so you got the Stackhouse haters. Stackhouse lovers would be like, this team would be in the NCAA tournament for sure if he played all year. And he may be, but that's part of sports. Injuries are part of sports. He makes a huge difference. I mean, the guy's 7 foot. He comes out last night, busts a couple threes. And I think there's still more to give there in the post and kind of going inside out and playing through him. But I don't know if you saw, like, the one-handed cram on the Pippen lob. Like, it's just like, geez, man, you know. Not many people can do that. So, yeah, he makes a huge difference. And they miss Rodney Chapman again. And, that's how it is. That's how it goes. So, we'll see if they can recover from this. I mean, that's they had won 4 in a row at home, and they kind of had it going and had some momentum. So back to the drawing board for them. But the schedule, they've got some beatable teams here down the stretch.
Coming up next, we will get into what has become maybe the troll of all trolls in the world of sports. We'll get into that coming up on the other side. The second half of the NBA season is here, and you can turn every Thursday into payday with NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose, FanDuel giving all customers $10 back every Thursday in site credit. Just bet a $10 or more same-game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same-game parlays let you combine the money line, point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. You got the Celtics and the Nets coming up on TNT this week. Give me the Celtics on the money line in this game. I think they have what it takes to get it done. Kevin Durant been dealing with some injury problems, but you take it any way you want to take it. Win or lose, you're guaranteed to get $10 added to your account. It's one of the many reasons I love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's so easy to use. They've got great live betting options as well. And if you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code ROB to make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.